Be turning to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, that's going to be our lesson text for this morning. It's indeed good to see everyone out this evening, that we can open up God's Word and to study from it once again. In Jeremiah 1, beginning in verse 6, it's back up to verse 5. The Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whomsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." In Jeremiah chapter 1, we see the record of the divine call of Jeremiah, being called to the office of a prophet for Jehovah God. God called Jeremiah because he knows his character, that he will be obedient, and thus a faithful prophet to God. That is basically what's being said in verse 5. However, Jeremiah does not feel he's up to the task. And he states in verse 6, "Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Just as Jeremiah, there are those in the Lord's church today that object to speaking out for the Lord with an "I am a child" attitude, just as we see exhibited here by the prophet Jeremiah. And this evening, think with me, what can we say about such a mindset? Say someone were to say that, "Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child in age." The word translated "child" here in Jeremiah 1 verse 6 has a wide range of usage in the Old Testament. It's used in regard to an infant in Exodus 2 6. It's used to describe a small boy, Genesis 21 12. A young man of marrying age, Genesis 34 19. The same word is also used of Joshua when he's 45 years old, and Solomon when he succeeded his father as king. The Jewish rabbis defined the word as referring to a youth that was on the average about 14 years old. Estimates on the age of Jeremiah at the time of his calling range, that scholars say he was between, they believe, 15 and 25 years old. Now, he's evidently of young age to begin with, due to the fact that he would preach for at least 40 years that we have recorded here in the book of Jeremiah. How many years he would preach God's word when he goes to Egypt, we have no idea. That would be after the overthrow of Babylon. But we have those in the church that will say that, "I cannot speak, Lord God, because I am young in age." Do you hear me, youth? We see examples in the Bible of those that were young people and they were serving God and they were speaking out for God. Do you remember in Daniel chapter 1, in the book of Daniel, we read of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young when they were taken into Babylonian captivity. In Daniel 1 verse 4, the Bible says that those taken into captivity were children in whom was no blemish. That word "child" in the Hebrew typically applies to youths that are 14 to 17 years old. We think this is very likely because Daniel would live to see the end of the exile, and we know that they are going to be in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. He went with the first carrying away. So he's going to see the end of the Babylonian captivity, and so this would seem to indicate that he and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were not of great age when they were taken into captivity. As we read of these young people in the book of Daniel, we see a great example that one should obey God and render service to God and not think that one should wait till later in life. One is able to serve God. One is able to speak out for Jehovah God, whether young or whether not so young. Do you remember that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be commanded to fall down and worship a golden image or an image that has been set up when these musical instruments are played, yet they refused to do so and said that they would obey God, essentially? rather than obey the king's command, which was contrary to the will of God, because that was idolatry. Remember, they will be thrown into a fiery furnace, and God would deliver them. Daniel would disobey the king's edict, who would give an edict that for 1 month no one was allowed to pray unless it was either to the king or it was through the king's approval. There's some discussion on that. But one was not allowed to pray. But Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed 3 times every day. And so he would go, as was his practice, and he would pray before Jehovah God. He would pray to Jehovah God. His windows open. He didn't hide it. And he would disobey the king's edict. He would be faithful to God and serving God. And he would stand up for what God had said. And he would pray to his God, contrary to the king's commands. Well, we all know what happened to Daniel. He was thrown into a lion's den because of his willing to stand for God and not submit to the unlawful, unscriptural, unbiblical command of the king of Babylon. So we see these individuals were young, yet they would choose to serve God. They would choose to speak out for God. They would choose to serve God regardless of their youth. There are those today that say, either by words or actions, I'm a child, I'm too young to speak up for God. A person may think that, but examples from the Bible with those like Jeremiah, who will go on and speak for the Lord, after we read verse in chapter 1. Examples like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, others. This indicates otherwise, that one should not allow one's youth to be a barrier for speaking for God and for serving God. You have the preacher Timothy, who is described as a youth, yet the apostle Paul would exhort him and say, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. These young men serve God as an example that youth should not be a barrier to speaking for God. They did not have the mindset, well, we'll obey God when we get older. We'll speak for God when we get older. They were not of the mindset, we're too young right now to speak for God, to speak about God, to try and teach people about God, to stand up for God. We see Bible examples that that's not the case. That those individuals that were young, yet they served God, we too should serve God, whether we are young or not so young, and we should do it now. There are some in the church that would say, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child in speech. The King James Version says, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The American Standard Version says, I know not how to speak. Jeremiah seems to be saying, Lord, I do not possess the proper oratory skills necessary to speak for you. Now, whether that was because of an inability that he perceived or because that he felt he was too young, he did not seem to, it seems to indicate that he was a child in speech. But you know, Jeremiah misunderstands that the power is not in the preacher, not in the speaker of God's word. The power is in God's word. God will tell Jeremiah in chapter 5, verse 14, that God's word will be like a fire in the prophet's mouth, and the people will be devoured like wood. The power is in the word of God, not in the eloquence of the speaker or the lack thereof. Jeremiah 23, verse 29, there Jehovah God would say, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, God's word is like fire that burns in one's heart, and one cannot be restrained, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. When God's word is spoken, it will consume evil, it will purify good. Like a hammer, God's word, like a hammer will shatter rock, it will break into pieces false doctrine. There are those today that will not speak for the Lord because they have the mistaken idea that one must be a great speaker to teach the Word of God, either publicly or privately. Thankfully, that's not the case. Otherwise, I would not be standing before you this evening. Power is in the Word of God. Remember, we talked about that this morning. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is God's power. Now, we need to speak it accurately. We need to speak it with compassion and all the rest of it, indeed. But the point is that the power is not in the person teaching it. The power is not in the preacher that is preaching it. The power is in the Word of God. The Hebrews writer would describe God's Word as quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sword of the Spirit pierces to the heart. Just as a sword pierces to the heart, so does the Word of God. God's Word told of Israel's fall and they fell. It tells mankind today of the possibility of man's fall. Thus we must take heed to the Word of God, lest we fall. The Bible is described as living. It shows that it is not a dead letter. It is active. It is constantly working. The power is in the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. However, that does not mean that a person should not present the gospel as best as one can. It is very serious business to teach, to preach the Word of God. I don't believe I have ever tried to teach anyone the Bible, nor have I ever ascended the pulpit without I thought of the serious nature of what I am engaging in. I need to be as accurate as I can possibly be and not flippant about it. It is the case that we are proclaiming God's Word. Brothers and sisters, that is very serious business, whether we are teaching it privately or proclaiming it publicly. There's a great responsibility upon one that would teach and preach God's Word. The reason is just that. We are teaching and preaching God's Word. It's not mathematics. It's not an after-dinner speech. It's not the Encyclopedia Britannica or any words of man. It is the Word of God that we are teaching. Remember 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13? There, Paul would write to the church at Thessalonica and say, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." It wasn't the doctrines and opinions of Paul or of men. It wasn't what the latest commentary had to say or what was posted on Facebook. It was the Word of God, and they received it as such. However, let us always remember, we are to present the gospel. The power of God is the gospel. And the responsibility then falls upon the hearer to heed it. We will proclaim the Word, and a great serious responsibility it is, and then it falls to the hearer whether they will obey it, listen to it, or not. Not only a child in speech, not only a child in age, there are some that have the attitude, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child in understanding." This is the attitude of some in their reluctance to speak the message of God to others, I do believe. They have this idea and will often say, "Well, I just don't know the Bible well enough." Well, if I knew it as well as the preacher, if I knew it as well as the elders, if I knew it as well as the deacons, well, sure, I'd teach others, and so forth and so forth. Friends, all Christians were a child in understanding at some point in our Christian life. That is often called the babe in Christ. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian in this beginning condition, that is, being a babe in Christ. However, the Bible teaches there is something wrong with a Christian remaining in this condition. This is what the Hebrews writer is describing in Hebrews 5, verse 11, beginning, where the Hebrews writer would said, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Why is it hard for him to say these things? Because they are dull of hearing. Why is that? Verse 12, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong milk belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The writer had many things to say, but he's not going to speak to them of those things at this point. Why? They are mentally sluggish, he says literally. It's not that it's difficult to explain. It's not that it's difficult to understand. But it's hard to explain to these people. Why? Because at this point they should be spiritually mature and even to the point where they could be teachers at this point in their Christian life. They had been Christians long enough that they should have been teaching the Word of God. They should have went beyond the milk of the Word. They should have went beyond being merely a baby in Christ. They should have been on strong meat. These people had been Christians for some time, with enough time to grow, but they had not. They have need of being taught the ABCs of the Word of God, Paul's telling them. Spiritually speaking, they're babes. Milk that Paul makes reference to shows the immaturity, spiritually speaking, of these Christians. Strong meat would speak to the maturity that they should have achieved. The writer is desiring that they eat the strong meat of the Word, not stay on the milk of the Word, but they cannot handle it, and they cannot handle those things that Paul would want to tell them. How is a Christian to grow spiritually and not be a child in understanding? Well, one good example is 1 Peter 2, verse 2. There, Peter would say, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, here, when he says newborn babes, that doesn't suggest that these Christians were recent converts. Rather, they were to crave the spiritual nourishment from the Word of God just as a newborn infant craves feeding time, craves milk. They should have that same desire. He says that they should desire the milk of the Word. That word desire is an intensive word. It means to earnestly desire. In the American Standard Version, it says to long for. This is a word describing an intense yearning. Every Christian needs to have an intense desire for God's communication to man, to read it, to study it, and so forth. Like cherishing a note, one preacher said, from a departed father, mother, or spouse, or a letter from a loved one that we can't see due to distance and circumstance. That is like the letter that we have, the words that we have from God. This is God's instructions to mankind. Those words of love, those words of rebuke, those things that are hard to understand, sometimes hard to hear, and maybe even harder to obey sometimes. But these are the things that God would have us to know. Both the positives and the negatives, the ups and the downs. And Peter describes this, or uses the illustration, as newborn babes desire the milk of the Word. Infants do not have to be constantly urged and admonished to seek the source of their life, to seek their nourishment. Neither should we as children of God. We should have an intense desire for the Word of God that will develop when we realize that we can depend on nothing else for our spiritual nourishment but the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, do we read our Bible consistently? Even if we don't read our Bible every day, and that should be our goal, do we read our Bibles to receive spiritual nourishment from it? Do we study our Bibles more than just reading? Do we dig into the Word and do we study the Word of God? Whether it be by book, by chapter, by topic, there are many ways that we can study the Word of God. We have Bible classes here on Sunday morning that we study God's Word on Wednesday evening. We have that. There are many resources, Online Academy of Biblical Studies. Hey, let me plug that. That is a wonderful resource to dig in and to study, go into a deeper study of God's Word. World Video Bible School, do you realize they are posting videos online now? And these are very sound doctrinal resources, brothers and sisters, that we can use for our personal study, that we can dig deeper into God's Word. What about our library? I would calculate outside a school of preaching or a congregation with a significant larger number than we have here at Flatwoods, I would estimate that you would have to go several miles to find a congregation that has as well stocked and maintained library as what we have. And I know I'm the librarian, but that is not my doing. That was there long before me. I just maintain it and try and add to it. That was the wisdom that of those that were here before me, and some of them have gone on to their reward now, that we have that wonderful resource in there. We have the book reading challenge where we try and encourage folks to utilize our library for their personal study so that we're not a babe or a child in understanding. What about the resources we have just laying out there that are free? The Gospel Journal is laying out there, the latest issue. Fellowship in the Bible, written by very sound brethren. Some of these brethren are I've had as instructors in Online Academy of Biblical Studies. We have tracts for our own. Did you ever study from a tract? Do you all know about what makes the Church of Christ unique? There's a tract out there for that. Not only can we study, we can evangelize with these things. We can give them to our neighbors. How to prepare for the end of the world. To reassure ourselves where we stand and getting ready for when either we leave this world or Christ returns and that we stand in judgment with God. Well, somebody says, don't really have time to read. What about our DVDs? Returning to Truth, wonderful scriptural Bible study material, information from the World Video Bible School. How about Defending Against Same-Sex Marriage from World Video Bible School? Brother Don Blackwell has several of these on varying topics. I'll get to listen to him down at Paul Sheen the Pulpit this year. What about that? What about lectureships? What about those events going on around us? Maybe not all the way down in Tennessee, but those things that are reasonably close. Gospel meetings that we can go to and hear brethren faithfully proclaim the Word of God to where we can grow in the knowledge of God's Word. Brothers and sisters, there are all kinds of resources out there. There is no reason for anyone to ever feel like or to actually be a babe in Christ. Now, we were all there at some time and at some point, but we need to move beyond that. That's what the Hebrews writer is admonishing here in the book of Hebrews, that passage that we read. They've been Christians long enough that they should have went beyond the milk of the Word. It's all right to be there, but it's not all right to stay there. Should have went beyond that. There are many resources that we have and that can be made available. Talk with me. Talk with the eldership. Talk with other brothers and sisters. There are many things that we can increase our knowledge of the Word of God by reading, by study, and so forth and so on. So that is one excuse some people will say in not evangelizing or not spreading the Word of God. Well, I'm a child in understanding. Friends, that need not need to be. It should not remain that way. Now, as we close this, we've talked about him being a child in understanding. Now, notice verse 7. Verse 7 puts a point on it. Now, I'm a child. I cannot speak. Now, here's my excuse. God says, you can speak it because you're going to speak what I tell you. Notice verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. What was Jeremiah to own? What was the only thing he was supposed to speak? God's commands. That's told several times to the prophets. Ezekiel is told in Ezekiel 2, verse 7. God tells him, thou shalt speak my words to them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. What is Ezekiel supposed to teach and preach? God's word. Jonah is told by God at the beginning of the book, and then later on, after he has a lesson to bring him in line with what God expects of him, in Jonah 3, verses 1 and 2, there, God tells Jonah, says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. What was he supposed to preach? God's word. That's the standard. We don't have to know what the latest brotherhood issues are. We don't have to know what the latest thought on X topic is. We preach the word of God. Now, while one could make an argument, I do believe, in being prepared, sort of a defense against the dark arts, about some of these false doctrines out here, all right? But the main thing we need to focus on, though, is the Word of God. I heard it illustrated like this one time, that a fellow was hired at a hardware store. And in trying to be the best employee that he was, that he could be, he was trying to memorize all the different things that was in the store, or that the store didn't have, right? And, well, we don't have this, and we don't have that, and we don't have this. And suddenly it dawned on me, he said, wait a minute, I'm going about this the wrong way. I could list for days and days and days the things we don't have. I need to just remember the things that we do have, and then I'll be able to exclude everything else. So he went through and he learned everything that the hardware store did have, and if someone came in with something that they didn't have, he automatically recognized it and said, no, we don't have that. Maybe they had to order it. Maybe you had to send them to another store or whatever. We don't have to know about every doctrinal issue going out here, every false teaching that is out here in the world. We don't need to know about that. We need to mainly focus on the Word of God, learn that, and then when that which is false is presented to us, we're going to pick it up right away. We're going to know it. Because we're going to know what the Word says, and anything contrary to that, it's going to stand out and it's just going to glare. We're going to recognize it right away. So we need to stay with the Word of God, and that's what we need to speak, and that's what we need to teach these people, the Word of God. Friends, brothers and sisters, there are people out there that are teaching everything except the Word of God, except the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're teaching every wind of doctrine that you can think of, and some of it's changing, and there's new stuff coming every day. Just as the prophets were commanded to speak the Word of God, and only speak the Word of God, indeed also should we. We should not add to nor take away from God's Word. If we vary from God's Word, how are we not adding to or taking away from God's Word? Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. The Bible ends in Revelation 22, verse 18, beginning with the admonition, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and the things which are written in this book. The Bible begins, the Bible ends, and has many admonitions in between of what? Don't add to and don't take away from. Don't vary from the book. Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent. Book, chapter, and verse, preaching and teaching. That is what saves souls. That is what will lead us to heaven. That is a way that has to be right, cannot be wrong, because that's what God has given us, and that's what God has commanded. So that is where we stand. Just as Jeremiah was to say, don't make excuses, God told him, don't make excuses, Jeremiah. You speak what I command you to speak, and you go where I tell you to go. We've been commanded to go into all the world and preach what? The gospel, that which God has commanded us to speak. Christians of all ages should consider the great task of teaching others the Word of God. Recognize that there is power in God's Word, and it is not in our oratory or lack thereof. The power is in the Word of God. Christians of all ages should seek to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. We need to remember that we are to speak, that we are to teach the Word of God without addition, without subtraction, if we are going to be pleasing to God. Maybe there's someone here this evening needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without addition or subtraction, here is what the Bible says. And here's the example from the book of Acts. If you come back on Wednesday night, we'll talk more about that in the Bible class. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 3. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 32. And then Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. We have book, chapter, and verse for the gospel plan of salvation. If someone needs to obey it this evening, that is a way that has to be right, cannot be wrong, because that we have the words of Jesus Christ as affirmation that that is the truth spoken in the Bible. Maybe there's someone here that needs the prayers of the saints to be restored, that they have left the way and will of the Lord. Maybe there's someone here that needs the prayers of the saints on their behalf. Whatever your need might be, dear friend, come forward as together we stand and we sing.
Soul of Savior, thou art needing. Soul of Savior waits for thee. Hear his words of tender pleading. Hear his gracious come to me. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression. If thou wilt, thou canst be free. Soul, he waits for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest. Do not linger till the morrow. Let thy loving answer be, Savior, in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling. Come to me and be at rest.
Be seated, please.